Hello and welcome, welcome, welcome to the TavCorecast.
Welcome.
My name is your father, George Weedman.
Wow.
I hope that your father is also actually part of your name.
Your father.
This awkward family get together. We also have your creepy uncle, Jimmy.
Hi.
And no one knows how he got here, Matt.
just in the corner. Just in a dark corner.
The guy that everybody assumes knows another person, and so you're not questioning it.
Right. Just always in someone's shadow. Always looking over someone's shoulder.
Yeah.
Just the
Matthew
eyes.
Matthew Luigi visual.
Visual Ouija.
The death stare on my way out. Yeah.
You know, I'm really proud of myself for making that Ouija joke in my Until Dawn video. When the kids are playing with the Ouija board, and I had a little transparent Luigi face sliding across the center of the board as they were sliding the little bullshit handle.
Yeah, man.
I was really proud of that one. It's called Ouija boards, and I was like, you know what's also called? Okay, what games have we been playing?
I mean, mostly Mario Maker, but I have to make a terrible confession.
Oh?
Mm. Oh. I'm playing League of Legends again.
No, Jimmy, have you
seen? No, I mean, that's
help.
Not as bad as playing World of Warcraft or Clicker Heroes.
Clicker Heroes is definitely worse. I will give Clicker Heroes that.
Soraka, not Soraka,
Sriracha.
Sriracha.
Sakura Spirit.
Clicker. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna take that, Matt, and I'm gonna like just say something that I'm like not willing to make a video about because I don't care that much, but it's just a point that I want to make.
Mm-hmm. Oh no,
for the people.
Between, Soccer Clicker is obviously a shit game. Like it's a really bad game, mm-hmm. but people say it's a bad game and they like automatically go to like it's just anime tits. It's a bad game, but no, that's not the reason it's a bad game. The reason it's a bad game is because even by clicker standards, it's completely empty. There's no content. There's nothing to do. There's no progression. I watched two separate people who were on my feed because I liked their videos. Jim Sterling and I don't remember who it was. Dodger, maybe? Jim Sterling and Dodger. I watched them both play Soccer Clicker. And I was like, wow, this game is fucking bare bones and empty. Like, it is like the first 30 seconds of Clicker Heroes, and then it never goes past that. Clicker Heroes actually has progression. Even if it is empty, it's like there, whereas Sakura Clicker has like nothing to it. And if the point is to click on boobs and like have boobs, it's not even satisfying in that realm because nothing happens. The images don't change. It's like the same 15 DeviantArt costumed anime girls, and they just like appear and then go away. Very dissatisfying game for reasons that are more than just like, oh, it's boobs.
It's funny because there's this whole weeaboo thing. It's like, oh, you're a weeaboo because you like anime, and it's one of those things where even visual novels get a bad rap.
Right.
Some of those visual novels are just visual novels, and they're actually pretty damn good.
Right.
But because it's like it has, you know, the art style of Japanese animation, mm-hmm. they get a bad rap, and it's quite sad. It's quite sad.
Definitely.
People, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I just wanted to put that out there because I always see people like shit talking like Sakura Clicker, but it is never for the actual reason that the game is bad.
Yeah.
Because like it, like they're right, but for the wrong reasons. And I'm just like, no, it's bad because it doesn't even give you the thing it's advertising itself as. Like, it doesn't even give you the boobs. It's just like kind of the boobs, but not even really much of that.
Shocking, like, controversial revelations here tonight on the TOVG cast.
It just bugs me. That's all. It just bugs me because like
we're going deep.
They didn't even bother to try and make a trashy game. Mm-hmm. They made like a halfway trashy game with no gameplay.
To be fair, I've never heard people defend it. And then again, I don't think I've ever heard people get this passionate about it at all.
No, well, I follow a lot of weebs. No, I'm kidding. I have a few friends who are into
Austin.
Roasted. Oh. That's exactly what I was talking about. But I have a few friends who are into anime stuff, and quite a few friends who have played the game, and they all say it's bad, but they all say it's bad for the wrong reasons. And so that's all. That's all. That's all I wanted to say. I just wanted to say that. It's over.
Yeah.
It's good. But anyway, League of Legends.
How's League of Legends?
It's actually, now that I have built up this sort of like numbness to MOBAs, where every time I refer to a MOBA, every time I'm in a conversation with them, I just kind of take on this air of like, yeah, I mean, it's one of those games that gets you too invested and then you get angry and that's how the game goes. I've kind of trained myself to be like, yeah, I'm never going to get invested in a MOBA. And now that I'm playing, because my group of IRL friends who lives around me, they don't play much else. And so like, if I'm on and like one of them is on, like online, we'll play like Worms or Terraria or something. But if several people are on, then it ends up turning into like, all right, we're like, most of the group is on, we're going to go play League. And then I'm like, okay, bye. And so I was like, you know what? I'll just like tough it out. I'll play some League with them. It's not going to be a big deal. And it's not been a big deal. I just like have not been invested. We mostly play like ARAMs, and then like we played a regular game the other night. And even though we lost, it was like, it wasn't too bad. As long as I don't care, as long as I don't play ranked or like get invested, then I won't get super angry, and I haven't been getting angry. And it's been nice. Yeah. It's been pleasant.
That's usually how I do it. Play with a couple friends.
Definitely.
The community still is infamously angry.
Every community is like that. Mm. Every single damn community. Yes, in League, you're going to get
a
lot of
that. League has a reputation.
But a lot of them do, though. Like, every community that you're in, you're going to have that. Like, even in the small, tiny ones, all right? Like, for WildStar, you have that reputation. For Guild Wars 2, you have that reputation. Those are MMOs. Yeah. For Dota, you have that reputation. Like, but, like, League is, because it's the biggest game ever, that's why there's, like, so many eyes on it, you know? It's like, we're not League players. Only those guys are little 14-year-olds and blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is, like, I always used to play with friends. I would, like, very rarely play alone. But I would just get too invested in the games back then. And so, like, I'd get invested, and then me and my friends would just get mad at each other and play the blame game for the whole rest of the game when we were losing. And that's, like, obviously it's not fun. But, I think most of my friends are a little less invested, and I don't play ranked with them or anything. So, like, I can allow them to have their time to get, like, super serious. But just playing casually, and it's not bad. I like the new aesthetic. Like, they revamped a lot of champion models and character art, and they've been changing a lot of characters, and they seem like pretty interesting changes, but I don't know. I have to admit, I got reinvested, or not reinvested. I like had some interest again because the Worlds is going on right now, and I happened to catch a game one weekend, and I was like, wow, like League, I remember League. League's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it hasn't gone away. It's just there forever.
It's there, constantly growing. Half a million people watching the Worlds over and over again. It's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is.
And I still haven't played like any real MOBA. How have I even lasted?
I don't know. I don't think it's. I don't think it's a huge thing to be like. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think. Like, I haven't played an FPS since Modern Warfare 2, I think.
Whew.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while. Yeah.
I was talking with some friends about this earlier because the Star Wars Battlefront beta is live today.
Oh.
Yeah. So
I have it downloaded already. I'm ready.
I think I'm probably going to get home and load that up and maybe play tomorrow or something. But
if you do, let me know. And
I would like to play with some friends as opposed to just playing alone. But I'm curious.
I got a couple days early.
Oh, really?
I don't want to ruin your impressions. But
no, I've already heard quite a bit from some friends about how it's playing. So I kind of have an idea, like a ballpark. But
like it's not bad. It's just like one of the most simple, basic models for combat I think I've played in a long, long time. Like this is a game in 2015 where the guns have unlimited ammo and your first shot is laser accurate. And it's Star Wars, so yeah.
I mean, that's how Battlefront has been. Mm-hmm. And the whole conversation that I had with people today about this started with a bunch of friends in our Discord chat saying, "Yo, Battlefront, yo, I'm playing Battlefront right now. Are you on the beta?" And they were just discussing it. And I was like, am I a pleb for not being excited? Because I was excited when it was announced at E3 2014, when they're like, Battlefront. And I was like, oh, it's finally happening. And then like over the past year, I have lost all excitement. And I've just grown to be like, yeah, Battlefront, whatever. I'm just going to pass it over. Like, it's not, I don't care. And then, so today we had a discussion and some of them were defending it. Some of them were being like, yeah, it's just okay. And I've seen a couple posts that are like really upset about it. So.
Like, I think
No, this is cool. I was watching someone play it as I was waiting to get into the beta. Mm-hmm. And it just seems very dumbed down. Like a dumbed down version of a shooter. Is that accurate, Weedman?
Yeah, I got the code.
Like, what about the flying? Like, is
ago.
The flying hard?
Oh, the flying, I can't say that it's bad because it's definitely not unpolished. Like, it looks great. It's animated absolutely beautifully. It's very well optimized, too. I was getting, there's no frame rate cap, so I was pulling like 120 frames per second for most of the battles, and 90 frames per second is what a chug in this game looks like.
Wow.
And when you have that degree of precision over where you're aiming, you obviously feel very in control. The character himself feels fairly in control. Like, I wasn't clipping through the ground, or I was moving at a nice steady pace. It seemed like there was a very, very smooth sense of movement and aiming going on, but your controls are that when you open up the options menu and look at your controls, like, it really just sheds some light on how simple this game really is. And that's why I feel like it's not necessarily unpolished, but it still kind of does feel rushed, because there's a very, very small features list going on here. Not deep or complex, even though you can still get your shoot on and be satisfied by that, but there's no prone button, not really much stancing going on besides holding crouch in and out. Vehicles work by picking them up. You pick up floating, rotating power-ups that then activate a vehicle as an extra weapon slot. Like you walk over a floating, rotating power-up that will then splash a icon on your screen that says TIE Fighter power up. Mm-hmm. And then on the bottom, you'll see press number 4 to activate TIE Fighter. And your guy will kind of do like a Call of Duty airstrike. Like, he'll hold his hand to his ear and kneel down. And then the camera will pan out and you'll control a TIE Fighter flying around. And I think your guy on the ground just disappears, because once you blow that TIE Fighter up, you respawn at a new spawn point rather than where you left off.
Interesting.
By the way, which brings up another point. In Battlefield, you can choose your spawn point. There's a map of control points to fight over. And this one, you don't choose your spawn point. And in both of the modes they have in the beta are kind of spins on King of the Hill.
Oh.
They're much smaller maps than Battlefield. The mode isn't necessarily like hold the point as it is, hold the one rotating point. The Hoth map is a little more is the most interesting of the two, and that's you capture hills as the rebels to activate Y-wing bombers that destroy AT-AT walkers. If you don't destroy the AT-AT walkers within a set limit, which is partially controlled by how the players piloting them play, then the Empire wins. They move on rails. You can hop into a turret, but not really control them. And that's just like another thing where it's such a simple, bare bones game. And I can remember the old Battlefronts being like that, but I almost want to say that it felt, maybe because I was playing with them on I was playing the PC version of Battlefront 2 and the console version of Battlefront 1, but it still felt like there was a little more of a skill curve to the combat in that one.
That's interesting, because I don't know what modes are going to be the final and main modes of the game, but the fact that there's not a like capture several points and hold them and try and like advance and capture all the points or deplete your enemy's reserves, like I guess attrition mode mm-hmm. is what that would be considered. Like that's like default Battlefront. That's like the standard.
That would also actually solidify it as a Battlefield clone. Like there's no equivalent Battlefield mode in this one.
Right, but like would it be a Battlefield clone if Battlefront did that first forever ago?
Well, Battlefield 1942 did it first in 2002. I don't know. Like when I'm trying to remember back on the Battlefront games, I definitely remember a map screen where you could choose a spawn point. Am I wrong?
In the original Battlefront games?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. That's like here. The staple.
It's simpler than that.
The original Battlefront was PS2, right?
I think it came out first on PS2 and later went on to everything else.
When did you say Battlefield 1942 came out?
2002, I think.
Okay. I was just trying to make the comparisons. Battlefront came out in 2004.
Yeah, no, Battlefront.
But I mean, like, okay, what I'm saying is it wouldn't really solidify it as a Battlefield clone unless you're saying that, like, in turn, the entire series has been a Battlefront or a Battlefield clone.
Yeah, I'm that's not bad, though. It's a great Battlefield clone. And yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense that they're actually getting the Battlefield developers themselves on it this time.
Yeah, it's just that really is disappointing, though. I mean, that mode is like, I never played anything else in Battlefront. Was there even anything else? Like, I know there was like Galactic Conquest and modes that incorporated that into it, but I don't remember any specific like King of the Hill or anything. And if it was there, I didn't play it.
I think there was a very simple split screen deathmatch, but no one would ever bother with that.
Oh yeah, I've played that a couple times. Yeah. I played that a couple times. I had some friends when we made like mini games out of it, like Sniper Wars or whatever. Where you kind of just like agree to like an honor system of rules.
Which reminds me, okay, sniper rifles are handled in another kind of weird way that feels like they're more of a quick throwaway bonus rather than a whole actual another weapon to master. Uh-huh. So you add a sniper rifle to your loadout via a loadout screen. You can't get rid of your regular rifle and replace it because it's intended to be a kind of super shot that you shoot and then throw away and then wait for an 18 second cooldown timer where you can then take the sniper rifle out again and pop another shot off with it.
What? So you can only shoot your sniper rifle once every 18 seconds?
It feels like 18 seconds. It might be less. It might be 8 seconds, but there's a hefty cooldown timer attached to your grenades and your sniper rifle.
So
even though they both have unlimited ammo, but their drawback is that they have a cooldown timer.
So it's, I guess, how I would like compare this to, I guess, this is something that I would say this is similar to. It's kind of like the idea of Halo's Scorpion tank or something, where like you shoot and there's just like a cooldown timer and that's like the only thing that's stopping you. It's just like it's your primary weapon, but it's on a very long delay, so you can't spam it.
But the thing is, it's not your primary weapon. It will always be in a secondary slot.
Okay, so what's your primary weapon?
A laser-accurate, unlimited ammo blaster rifle.
So is this the sniper class, or is this just
a class? Every regular class has kind of sort of the same loadout. Like, there's not a lot of options, I feel, because it's a beta, which is basically a demo. I mean, there are like so many messages saying pre-order the full game that it really is a demo. But the sniper rifle can be applied to anyone playing. There isn't a class system. You pick secondary bonuses out of a deck of cards. They call them, cards. You have a hand of three of them. So you'd pick like a sniper rifle, thermal detonator, which is your grenade, and then the ion shot, which turns your blaster rifle into a ion cannon, like a,
right, which is like disable stuff, right?
Yeah, they're for vehicles. They shoot EMPs.
I mean, I guess there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but that definitely does make this feel more like a modern FPS and less like a Battlefront Like I said, I'll play it tonight or tomorrow or whatever. You'll hear my my impressions sometime
and,
next
and,
week
and
on
when
the cast.
And when you do, let me know. I'd be happy to join a match with someone I know.
Yeah, definitely. I'd be interested in doing
that.
It's
like super weird judging it as a modern shooter too, because the gunplay is totally different because you have slow moving projectiles. You got to lead your target.
Right.
Which is really hard to get used to. Mm. I played a lot of Star Wars games when I was a kid. It was the mid 2000s and they were coming out by the boatload.
Yeah, same.
And I feel it's weird going back to those rules for how guns should work. The guns overheat, but otherwise have unlimited ammo. You can tap a quote unquote reload button to make the overheating animation finish faster. And that's your mechanic in place of reloading. But other than that, it's like a contest to see who can spam in the general direction of where they think an enemy will be 30 frames from now. Mm. Maybe not 30. Well, I guess if I'm playing at that high of a frame rate, sure. I'll say like in 20 milliseconds from now, because that's about how far the distances are with your usual engagement. Maybe that was another thing. Maybe the older Battlefront games had more claustrophobic maps than Hoth, which is a wide open snowfield, that made
there
the gunplay work a bit better.
There was definitely quite a few bigger open maps, but my favorite ones were always the not so much the claustrophobic ones, because I can remember not liking Bespin Cloud City. I didn't like, but however, to contrast, Bespin Platforms, which was like probably one of the most popular maps from, I believe that was Battlefront 1. It's the one where there's just a bunch of like circular platforms in Cloud City, and they have like thin walkways that connect them, and there's like vehicle paths in the very back, and it's sort of a central hub area in the middle. That one was, it like wasn't super open because there's a lot of cover all over the platforms, but it wasn't also like confined to straight up hallways. You could shoot down and jump across platforms if you were being risky or whatever. And that's the kind of maps that I liked. And I don't like Hoth. I have never liked Hoth. I think Hoth is like the worst gimmick in every Star Wars game, and they always bring it back because it's iconic from the movies, and I just don't like it.
There's a Tatooine map that they have in the beta where you play one of the little co-op missions where it's you and a friend. It's PvE kind of. You and a friend fight off a very, very small amount, actually, of easy AIs. The harder difficulties are reserved for the full game. And it feels like that one might be more interesting to play in multiplayer because they're canyons, but they're fairly wide open canyons. So you still have a big feeling, but you also have a certain degree of cover and strategic movement that I don't think is on the Hoth map.
Yeah, Hoth is sort of notorious in Battlefront, at least to me. Again, this is something I was talking about with people earlier because some of my friends were saying they really like the Hoth map, and I have always hated that map because I feel like if the Empire has good AT-AT pilots, then the Snowspeeders can never take them down, and the Snowspeeders can never take them down, so the AT-AT pilots blow up the generator, so they get a free base. Like, that's kind of how it always went. The new style may change that, but I still don't like the map layout itself being a big, wide-open, flat, white space.
It's like, just way too wide open. Like, it really, really shows how weird the gunplay in this thing works.
Yeah,
and I don't want to call it bad. Like I said, it's actually polished. Like, it feels solid. The rules, there just like aren't enough rules to the game.
I can see that. Like I said, I'll try it out tonight. Matt, have you actually tried it, or
no,
have you just downloaded
it? I'm going to try it like immediately after this. I'm watching some gameplay of it.
We should play together.
Yeah, for sure. Or immediately after this, I'm going to jump on because I like the Battlefield games. Maybe not recently. Maybe not recently. They haven't been touching my fancy because I'm a big fan of Bad Company 2, probably one of my favorite FPSs up there with Gears of War. Battlefield 3 was going in the wrong direction, but I still liked it. And Battlefield 4 was just kind of really just not, it wasn't hitting the sweet spot. So hopefully this, I don't know, like even if it's Battlefield with, you know, space sounds, I might find some enjoyment out of this. Hopefully, at least, even though this is, they say beta, but this beta is not really beta. The way it looks, it just looks so like clean. So they I don't know.
It seems more like
balance.
Like it seems more like the
yeah.
It seems more like the what Splatoon did, like a couple weeks before launch.
Oh yeah,
test fire.
Yeah, the global test fire. That's what it was.
Yeah, like they might have room though. Like the Hoth map is right now ridiculously Empire sided, which sure is canon, but for video games, you generally want to have a nice balance between the two, and right now it feels like technically solid. Like it just runs and looks so goddamn well, but there's still room for them to make some minor adjustments for team balance on this, on maps, which they might also be aiming for.
Here's the thing is it wasn't necessarily that the Empire was so strong that I didn't like Hoth in previous games. It's just that it was a very binary, like, are their AT-AT pilots good? Then they're strong. Are they not? Then they're not. And because I'm quite intrigued by asymmetrical multiplayer, because they actually had a lot of good maps in the original Battlefronts that were asymmetrical. Like the one that I will always go back to is both of the Renvar maps. I don't know if you remember those. They're the other ice-themed maps. One of them also has an AT-AT walker on it. But those had like for example, the Empire would start with an AT-AT walker, and the Rebels, instead of having a stupid flat open plane with a big ass generator just sticking out, they had like a castle of sorts where you can there was like turrets everywhere, and you had a lot of like pillars and stuff to hide behind and use rocket launchers to try and, you know, get the AT-AT walker, or you had like a good vantage point to kind of sneak out and get the like cinematic kill on the walker, that where you like climb up into it and throw a grenade or whatever.
Oh, that reminds me. I don't think that's in this one. I had a snow speeder for a little while, and I was looking really hard for the shoot the cable connector button.
Oh, that's definitely in there.
Find it. It is.
Yeah,
was I just not good?
They would never. Like I said, that is the most overdone Star Wars gimmick in any game ever created. It's in every game. There's not a Star Wars game that doesn't have a part where it's like, it's the Hoth thing now. Do the circles.
Okay, now I understand what you mean by that. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, I did like, it from the movies. Look,
that's,
I'm that guy.
That's the thing. It's like, yeah, I get it. It was in the movies. Let me do something else, please. But
oh, man.
To be fair, that's what I was saying. The other Battlefronts, they did have, like, if you were just a dude on the ground... Like, you could still combat the walker pretty well. Like, if you were, for example, the engineer had the torch or whatever, and that did, like, obscene amounts of damage to vehicles. So you could just, like, go under a vehicle and torch it to death. But
I don't think that's quite... I'm looking at a video now. I'm seeing a snow speeder use cables. So I did miss the vehicle. It must be more contextual than I was thinking. Or I did miss the button. But the AT-ATs like are the objectives of the whole 10-minute match. Whatever damage you do to them has to be slowly chipped away over time. They feel like less of a vehicle than a capture point themselves.
I don't know. Okay, I will reserve judgments on this new iteration of the map that I hate until I play it. But it, like, my point being was that I don't dislike the idea of asymmetrical multiplayer, like where one team starts out strong or something, or like one team starts out with like a ridiculously powerful vehicle and the other team kind of has to scramble to defend against that. Like, the idea of that I find cool. It's just that when it boils down to a more binary idea, like the original Hoth, where it's just like, if their pilot is good, then we're fucked. But if they're not, then maybe we have like a cool match going on. Then that's what I don't like.
So you need complexity.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. So I'll play the game fucking tonight or tomorrow. I don't know.
Okay. It's not super duper awful. It's just you'll be like, cool. And then 10 minutes later, you'll be like, have I really done everything already?
Sounds like what you're saying is it's underwhelming.
Yeah. But it looks so good.
Okay, it's whelming.
Yes, it is whelming. You will be overwhelmed by the display of modern technology. You will be underwhelmed by how little thinking they did to turn that into a cool video game.
I will be nice and whelmed.
Exactly.
Amazing.
All right.
So, Matt, what have you been playing?
Oh, well, I've been playing a little bit of Transformers Devastation.
Really?
Nice.
Platinum game. Yeah.
Yeah, you still haven't played the classics, though, have you?
Yeah. I should grab that from you, shouldn't I?
I really like their first album, you know, better than their new stuff.
Yeah. Have you listened to Bayonetta?
You're not wrong, though.
I'm kidding.
Anyways, how's Transformers Devos?
It's another game made by Activision and Platinum, the little duo going on. The same people who made Legend of Korra. And Legend of Korra is, you know, it wasn't a really good game. Legend of Korra, why it was a bad game, I'll give you a list of repeating bosses. No growing in mechanics. It's just the same thing over and over again. All you did was get a couple more elements. And the only thing that was really, really good about it was the last boss. It was incredibly hard. And it was extremely satisfying. And I was like, if this is what Platinum is for real, and they put like all their time in the last boss, then I want to play more Platinum games, but I never got a chance. But I did get Transformers Devastation, and Transformers Devastation, I played it through in hard and went through a few bosses. And now I understand why a lot of people like it. Because first of all, of course, the combos make you feel awesome. Mm-hmm. But combos with dodging attacks from enemies, and when you're on hard, like one hit gets you half health. Mm. Right, you die from three hits from little mobs. Like, it's ridiculous. Dang. You'll die, but then you start getting used to it. So I went up against this boss called the Devastator, which is one of the first bosses, and it's hard because some of the telegraphs are not on the floor, and he's just like holding back his leg to swing and hit you and stuff like that. So you just kind of have to learn when to dodge properly. And the dodge button is right near, is the same button as the vehicle button. So it can kind of get a little bit weird if you're already in vehicle mode. It's a little wonky, but you can get used to it. But the satisfaction when I finally beat that boss was ridiculous. And when I put the game back on normal just to see, like, the game was baby mode in comparison.
Don't you love that, though? You're like, wow, I got really good at video games.
Yeah, you get so good at the game that normal mode might as well be easy.
Dang.
That's how ridiculous they teach you.
It's great if you play normal mode and think it's hard, and then play hard mode and just gradually, slowly get used to hard mode, then go back to normal, and you're like, wow, how did I ever think this was hard?
Yeah. I first played it in normal just to test out the game before I did something on it, and I was like, you know what? I'm doing hard mode. And I end up liking the game for it a lot better. I was like, wow, okay, I understand why they put
like
this here.
It sounds like it's hitting all the right notes. However, the one review I've seen so far, it was really weird. It was a Polygon review. They gave it a 6.5, but sounded strangely complimentary for a 6.5. They said things about repeating boss battles, I think, and also anytime you're not beating up robots and any other contextual actions just don't hit the same mark. But from what you're describing to me, basically how great it felt to go through the harder modes on Metal Gear Rising. Like, the process of learning and satisfying, gratifying, so many active verbs that go into a really active, energetic, rewarding, hard game.
Wow.
So I'm wondering what you're going to think of it by the end.
Yeah, so maybe, because I'm pretty sure I'm going to fight Devastator again and Megatron again, because those are the two first boss fights I fought, and I fought those guys on hard, and I could totally see those guys repeating. Now, in Korra, it was kind of the same thing, but except Korra's combat system wasn't as great. Okay, it definitely wasn't polished. And this one, it feels a lot better, a drastic difference. And I can see kind of like the formula for Platinum. Mm-hmm. You know, they have their witch time in every game and blah, blah, blah.
They love dodge mechanics. Like,
yeah.
Both Metal Gear Rising and the Bayonetta games, like, your primary mode of action, you want to be pressing the dodge and parry buttons more than the attack buttons.
if anything, if I finish it and it's not as good, I'm probably going to go back and just play through a lot of the old stuff. Like you mentioned Vanquish the other day when you were getting a PS3, you know, Bayonetta, and then Wonderful 101, which I still have not played. And I want to play that because I didn't really like the demo and I want to give it a chance. Yeah,
I can just give you my Bayonetta discs and you can go through those.
Yeah. After Fallout, I might actually do that instead
of...
The
console won't red ring in the middle of the intro, I promise.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, gosh. Good times. Good times. But yeah, that's what I've been playing.
I'm a little jelly.
It's sad. Yeah.
I'm actually a little jelly for that because... I love Platinum. I wouldn't mind giving a new Platinum game a spin, especially if you say it has a good combat system, and they're so good at combat systems.
Yeah. Oh, also it's Generation 1 Transformers with some of the original cast, including Peter.
I was wondering about that. How the hell did they manage the original cast?
I don't know. It's some of them. Maybe most of them.
They couldn't have gotten Orson Welles in there.
I don't know.
Because he dead.
Jesus.
Optimus Prime.
I still can't believe they got Orson Welles in a Transformers movie back in the day. But anyways, wow. I'm looking at some gameplay now and it looks pretty solid.
Yeah.
Like turning into a car as your dash. that's pretty great.
Yeah. Yeah. That is ridiculous.
Yeah. He just like turned ridiculous. Into a car and like rammed into the other robot mid combo and then turned back.
Yeah. It's that ridiculous. Like there's some crazy meta in there somewhere where crazy stuff would happen. You will turn into a vehicle, gain speed, get out of the vehicle, do a super dash attack, do a combo, then do two vehicle attacks, then out of that, go into another rush attack immediately and continue the combo. And you're like, mind blown. And then you hit that boss with that last vehicle attack and you just feel it in your gut. Okay.
You're describing this while I'm watching footage of our main character here juggling one of the bad guys in the air for like a solid 30 seconds, turning into a car and back over and over and over again to keep the juggle going. This looks pretty great.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, it's not for everyone, obviously, you know, that's probably why the Polygon guy was just like, not for me, maybe. Yeah,
but he still said he really loved the nostalgia factor.
Oh, yeah, I guess that type of gameplay is not for him.
The combat system, I'm just wondering what you're going to find out later on that might have justified that score.
Yeah. Oh, well.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyways, we are going to head out for a quick break, get some messages, some drinks, some bathrooms in. Yeah. Gonna make some dinner reservations and
at
go
the
have
Bush.
A meeting.
The Bush just opened up a couple blocks from here.
I've heard good things.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Let's take a quick break and head to
the
Bush.
The Bush.
Nintendo. It's for breakfast now.
Nintendo.
It's a cereal.
Wow.
Nintendo.
Super Mario jumps.
Nintendo.
In a fruit flavored crunch.
Nintendo.
Here's Zelda 2.
Nintendo.
It's very good news.
Nintendo.
You just can't move.
Nintendo cereal system is a super part of this nutritious breakfast.
Nintendo.
Two cereals at once.
Hey guys, guess what works when confronting a problem you don't like? Complain about it on the internet.
Roll a natural 20.
No, I feel like you should rescind your natural 20 in the face of my negative feedback. I'm speaking of how Square Enix has rescinded the horrible Deus Ex Mankind Divided Augment Your Pre-Order scheme. I'm complaining on the internet worked.
And there was much rejoicing.
The game can release without a shitty pre-order scheme now, I guess. I'm sure it will release with some kind of shitty pre-order scheme, but maybe not one as shitty, I would assume.
Just a stealthier one to match the to match the theme of the game.
Yeah, this is a stealthy one with maybe a little fun, ridiculous bit of contrived controversy surrounding it. You know, I was getting a lot of fan disappointment from people in private messages on Twitter and on Steam who just felt so bummed after Metal Gear Solid 5 with how the story turns out, even though it's a fantastic game. Mm-hmm. And genuine people who like think video games are over now because of it. And I'm like, no, like if you want a cool spy game with a fun story, Deus Ex, a new one comes out in like 5 months.
I mean, like just a spoiler alert, I've never played a Metal Gear game. So if a Metal Gear game, if Metal Gear ends, like that doesn't affect my gaming universe literally in any way, shape or form.
Yeah. See, some people can still play video games. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one because it'll scratch that itch of fun spy games with fun stories that I don't know if they come out enough. But yeah, they have rescinded the augment your pre-order. The game will in fact not launch 4 days early now. I guess it'll just come out on the regular date now.
Whoa.
They said, we've spent a lot of time reading through all your comments, working to understand how we can try to make things right for you. After much thought and reflection, we decided to close down the program and make all incentive content available to anyone who pre-orders Deus Ex Mankind Divided or purchases a day one edition of the game. So I guess that means you still get a shitload of pre-order bonuses for buying it before... It's a responsible adult thing to do.
Right.
I wonder how many people wouldn't have bought it if they just didn't do anything.
Probably.
Like if they just like kept their augment bullshit.
I feel like there's this like, it's like a thin line where people would buy it anyway type
thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
The keyword on thin. Because it's a very, very, very vocal minority of people who actually get up in arms about pre-order bonuses, even though a lot of people buy pre-order bonuses, it's not economically rational.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Those people, like the troves of people that are buying pre-orders, I feel are the same people who are not in online communities.
Otherwise, they probably wouldn't be pre-ordering.
Right, you don't see a lot of people online defending pre-orders for the most part, and that's because the people who would defend it are probably not online, and they probably also don't care enough to defend it.
Yeah.
So
it's just like amazing that pre-ordering video games has penetrated that far into the mainstream, because what other media release depends as much on pre-order sales as video games do?
Yeah, and not really anything.
You don't really pre-order... Well, I mean, you can pre-order books, but it's not seen as the de facto way to be a good book consumer.
Right.
You can't buy movie tickets ahead of time. It would be nice if you could, but I don't really think movie theaters like do it months ahead of time like games do.
Depends on the release. I would say for the most part, not months, but like, for example, Star Wars 7, probably going to be... pre-sale tickets at least a month in advance for that, because there's going to be people lining up at least
Star
a month
Wars.
In advance for that.
Like
that's what I'm saying. Like there is still stuff like, you know, Harry Potter, Hunger Games, Star Wars, any of the big like fandom stuff is definitely going to have pre-sale, but obviously not to the same extent that gaming does, because it's literally like every fucking AAA game will be on pre-order like the day it's announced. But
yeah, whereas like one movie a year might get significant pre-sales.
Right.
Almost every game every year is pushing the pre-sales so hard for everyone. You walk into a GameStop and that's part of the script. I'm wondering if that's really what did it, is just making it part of the script at GameStop.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Sonic.
I was just going to say, I don't have much to say on this. It's like...
Because I wasn't going to pre-order it anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I have no interest.
Yeah, I'm never the one to get up in arms about stuff like this, so it's weird. You know, I was just like, oh. Like, yeah,
it's
that's
fun
evil,
to get up in arms about.
Yeah.
Because you save money either way. Like, I wasn't going to pre-order it, so I can just I feel like I'm allowed to complain in that case.
Yeah.
Were you going to pre-order anyway?
No, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
The last time I like seriously pre-ordered anything. Oh, I remember what it was now. It was because of that stupid joke I made about the dog in Call of Duty Ghosts. Where I said if they include an actual playable dog mode, I will pre-order this game and buy it day one. And god damn it, they went and did it.
Yeah.
And I had to hold myself to my stupid word.
And then you reviewed it.
And then I reviewed it. Yeah.
That dark hole that we all walk on.
That was back in the early days when it was a Babby channel. Babby Bunny Hop.
You've accepted it then.
I have. Okay. Because prior to that, the last time was when I was, well, not really a baby, but I was a kid. I was in the early years of college. I pre-ordered GTA 4 and BioShock, and that's what actually turned me off of pre-ordering things forever. Because, I mean, both games were fine, but they just weren't worth the emotional drama of the hype and the pre-order.
Yeah, I used to pre-order things pretty regularly. I mean, I got a Maximum Uber Dragonborn Special Edition of Skyrim.
Oh, nice.
When that came out the day of.
Yeah, it was Skyrim, it's okay.
Yeah, I got, well, I also did that with Diablo 3.
Probably
one of my largest gaming regrets. However, fuck it. Yeah, large gaming regret. Because fuck Diablo 3. The USB drive that's supposed to be like the black soul stone in the skull that they included doesn't even fucking work. Never fucking worked. I plugged it in and immediately it's just a brick. It's just a brick attached to another brick. Fuck that game. All right,
it comes with a collector's edition brick. Yes, Sonic Lost World is getting ported to PC, and I know Jimmy loves it when I include these 2-year-old console games that get ported to PC.
Yeah, like Turok.
Dragon's Dogma. But this time it's Sonic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all you got? Yeah.
No.
The only thing was when it was Dragon's Dogma, I remember when that came out on consoles and nobody gave a shit, and then suddenly it's getting ported to PC and everyone's like, and I'm like, it's why are we giving a shit now?
Because I finally get to play Dragon's and Sonic Lost World.
Great, Sonic Lost World.
I know.
Yeah. Actually, I'm kind of curious. Isn't Lost Worlds the one that had a bunch of like weird crossover shit in it?
Ooh, I don't know.
I almost positive
crossovers
Lost Worlds.
With what?
Like Nintendo. There's like a Zelda world in Lost World. Hang on.
Oh, yeah. I think that was
Sonic
DLC.
Lost World, Zelda.
I don't think you're wrong.
No, I am completely correct.
Zelda Zone.
The Legend
DLC.
Of Zelda Zone. Fucking good name.
look at it. He has a little Link tunic on.
Yeah, it's cute.
And when he jumps, he turns into his regular Sonic ball, even though he's covered in green armor.
No.
And you could find heart pieces at a chest, and he does the raise it above his head.
That's cute.
Like, A for effort, it's pretty cute. But is this...
He has rubies instead
just,
of rings.
What consoles was Sonic Lost World on before the port?
I think it
port?
Was just Wii U.
So what's happening with this Nintendo stuff?
I would not be surprised if that didn't make it over. Like, they're already saying it's free DLC, so that differentiates it from the main package to some easy, drawable line.
I thought it was included in the game to begin with. Okay, if it's DLC, that makes sense. Yeah, it's not going to be in there.
Or maybe they just like lock out the levels, or maybe include them, but only accessible via modding or hacking. Anyways,
yeah, I don't know.
I think this is a hilarious story because everyone loves to hate on Sonic, but everyone loves to love on unlikely PC ports. So you got
Sonic.
The best of one world and the worst of the other world coming later this year. What date are they looking at? November 2nd. It's fairly soon. Okay, also this folds into a video idea I had where I was worried that I might have to order Sonic Lost World for some old console I don't have.
Like the Wii U.
Yeah, I just did say that, didn't I? Yeah. Because it doesn't really look or feel like it's a...
Wii
new console.
I'm really looking forward to playing Fatal Frame later this month on the Wii U.
Because it's Sonic the Hedgehog.
It is. It's true. but yeah, I plan on doing some kind of a cringy, awful Sonic video soon. Get your butts ready.
Oh, man, yeah. my butt is so ready to cringe at Sonic.
Mm-hmm. Just get it to go fast.
No. Whoa.
Yep. So we were talking earlier about GameStop and how you go there and you hear a script about pre-ordering games. And then right. how that has solidified
that.
Pre-orders.
Yeah, copy that. I was waiting for him to stop talking so I could say it. Damn.
There's a very, very interesting retailer exclusivity degree going on between GameStop and Valve, who should be mortal enemies of one another, permanently at each other's throat. But GameStop is going to be the exclusive brick-and-mortar retailer for Steam machines, which is like another incredibly bizarre and kind of weird and probably not going to work bullet point on the journey of Steam machines, which are incredibly bizarre and probably not going to work. Jimmy, I think you were right. Steam machines not being cool.
Man, I was right. No,
you was.
I don't know. It's a weird thing to me. Maybe at least a tiny, tiny part of it is because of the fact that there is a Daft Punk song called Steam Machine. So it just sounds silly to say that in reference to anything that's not like a music. But like, I don't know, man. These like GameStop only retail of a PC, like a largely PC marketed thing. I don't know. I don't like it.
Who?
I don't respect it.
I, for one, welcome my GameStop overlords.
I don't.
Copy that.
Who's going to walk into GameStop and then the average GameStop consumer is going to walk in and be like, Call of Duty, Xbox One. And they're going to look
over. Can I
have
the Wii 2, please?
They're going to look over behind the counter and see these Steam machines, which like a good affordable one that is in a price point that can compete with consoles really isn't there, or that could compete with a PC you can build yourself. Like they're all these really, really expensive prefabricated pre-built PCs that only run a version of Linux that supports about 1,000 games on the Steam library, many of which are not the hot new headliners.
Yeah.
Like, who is going to walk into GameStop and pick that up along with Call of Duty, Xbox One?
I think that's going to be a hard sell, I feel, because like most people like to hold things in their hand, and that's the whole point. They're going to the damn store is to get that physical, oh, yeah, this game. It's an event. You're going to the store to get something. It's like, you know, Christmas. Like like the people who enjoy that and going to GameStop to buy their stuff, they're already doing that. Most people who don't want to go to the game store, they just download it straight to their hard drive. Some of these new consoles have huge hard drives now, and you can upgrade them. So I don't know how they're going to sell Steam machines. Not to say it will do badly, but, I mean, it's going to be a change, I would think, for GameStop. In the good or just, you know, nothing. Nothing
still
will change.
I don't think Steam machines is a bad idea. I think exclusively selling them at GameStop is going to be a really bad idea because I don't think they're going to push these things out of the shelves at GameStop.
To me, Steam machines are bottled water. It's like
wow.
Common sense could get you a bottle of water. Like, from not buying bottled water, like you could just get a bottle and fill it up with some fucking water, or like boil the water and then pour it into a pot, refrigerate it, pour it into the bottle. Your water's just as clean, just as filtered, but you didn't have to pay for all the bottles.
What about Spring?
That's the thing.
That's like, what Steam machines are. They're just the bottled water of like gaming PCs.
Because you could buy
you could just go
your own.
Build your own fucking PC, and it's not hard and it's not expensive. It's not expensive, you guys. For a gaming PC that just runs like the most, like pretty much most games decently, not expensive.
Nope.
But it's just enough labor, I guess, to push the point of production past the point where it's not reasonable to buy a pre-built PC. Because no pre-built, once you know and once you've built a PC, like, there's seriously no temptation to pay like a $300 or $400 premium to get the same thing pre-built, because that's really how much the premium is. Like, there is something going on in the process that makes PCs incredibly more expensive to buy them built.
Convenience.
And I know, like, I was about to say, yeah, convenience, but it's just like, wow, is it really that much? $300-$400 worth of convenience in the assembly line of people slapping these things together versus you slapping it together yourself.
I've built a few budget PCs for friends, and a good $500-$600 you can get something pretty decent, even smaller than that. And even you can even Craigslist some of these parts, you know.
Yeah. My PC that has a decent 650 Ti NVIDIA graphics card in it, which runs pretty much like most games at ultra, unless you start getting into like the, like, you know, Crysis kind of range of games, like that was $800.
See how it does Battlefront, because Battlefront, like, seriously looks as good. It's one of the best looking games I think I've seen so far, yet it runs ridiculously well.
I'll definitely keep an eye on it and see how it runs tonight.
I don't know if it's just because I've been dealing with the frame rate cap, but it looks like it's running smoother than Metal Gear.
Actually, speaking of Battlefront, I forgot that there was a news thing. I tweeted this out the other day, but I just thought it was really stupid, and it just kind of shows where we are in games. Trending the other night was Battlefront, and the headline that was trending was from an IGN article that said, "Star Wars Battlefront will not have microtransactions."
Oh, yeah,
and I was like, oh my God.
I saw you just shitting all over how great this news was.
Because fuck the fact that that's news.
That is like an onion headline.
If I'm spending $60 for a game, if I'm spending $60 for a game, it should be like, it shouldn't even be a thought. Microtransactions shouldn't even be like a tangential thought to that game. So fuck that.
But now I'm remembering, you said speaking of Metal Gear, because Metal Gear does have...
I said speaking of Battlefront.
Oh.
But Metal Gear was just conveniently lodged
it
in there with their microtransactions.
Because it does.
It does. Oh. You got to pay for the tuxedo.
You got to pay for the tuxedo. Well, that's like... Well, it's so weird. There are actual, like, microtransactions you can pay for in-game resources, and it's disgusting.
Yep. I saw that there's one for $40 by default. Fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that.
Fuck.
Fuck
that.
So, I could imagine Steam Machines being at a PC store, like Micro Center and Marriott outside of Atlanta. You ever been there, Matt?
Well, that's where I live, my friend. That's where I live. Micro Center's my life.
Okay.
That's where I build all my PCs, basically, yeah.
I occasionally go there when I don't want to wait for a shipment off the internet. And I could imagine a Steam Machine being there and catering to that crowd. I could not imagine a Steam Machine catering to the granted much larger crowd at GameSpot. It's just, stop, God. It's just such a different market.
Yeah, Micro Center is one of those rare things, though. Like, they're, I don't
know. It's a specialized
store
that carries specialty items. Like,
yeah,
Steam Machines.
Definitely. Definitely specialty, because PC stores are not a thing anymore. You know, it's not, they sell other stuff. You know, that's the only way they can keep afloat. Like, back in the days, we had CompuUSA. You know, we had all these stores. And nowadays, it's like everyone just builds them online. It's weird to think of a pre-made built console not being sold in stores and having actually more sold online. But man, maybe Steam sales are going to be the Steam pre-build is going to be online only. I mean, most of the sales are going to be online. And I don't know. Micro Center is just such a small little,
like, of
store.
All the brick and mortar choices, they didn't go with like
Fries?
Best Buy or Fry's or Target.
Best Buy would
make sense.
Best Buy would work. Yeah,
they went with GameStop, who hates PC gaming. Like, You will go to GameSpot, stop, and buy the Steam Machine and no games for it unless you want the Blizzard Diablo triple pack for your
my favorite
$1,000 living room computer.
That's Diablo 1 and 2, right?
I don't know if they still sell those or not, but I remember they when you go to brick and mortar and try to buy PC games, those things were everywhere for like 15 years, which would have been wouldn't it?
You know what? I'm going to try and get that fucking Diablo 3 flash drive to work because they owe me a copy of Diablo 1 if that doesn't work, man.
Years later.
I'm glad that I can inspire you to get things done. Yeah, get revenge. We've been on that for a while, though. Next topic, speaking of pre-built computers that do manage a price point that mainstream consumers like, those are called consoles.
Oh,
the PS4 is going to be dropping by $50 this holiday season. So everyone
putting it at what?
$350.
That's still no.
It's the same as the Xbox now. They're trying to be competitive.
Oh yeah, Xbox still $350 over.
Yeah.
The PS4.
$300 and I'll start considering buying a PS4.
That sounds about right to me. Like based on what I've been doing with mine.
That would not happen. $350 is the lowest they're gonna go. I guarantee it.
There's no way they're gonna reduce themselves to a Wii U. Well, no, I mean, a year from now, I could see it.
See, but here's the thing. I guess in the end, if you buy the console and all of the unique, exclusive, and worthwhile games on it, you're probably going to be spending the same money between the Wii U and the PS4 because, you know, the PS4 is going to be that $350 and then
$250
and then $60 for Bloodborne.
I spent $250. I spent about $400 on my Wii U, and I spent a lot more than that within the first weeks of my PS4.
And how many of those games do you regret buying?
Well, to be fair, I didn't buy any game other than Bloodborne.
Oh, gosh.
I'm seriously trying to think about it. Bloodborne. I Redboxed Until Dawn. That was another great exclusive. And I also have some things on the PSN store, but they're all little pixelated indie games that are on every other platform.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't really think of any other reason to get the Bloodborne machine unless you really don't like PC gaming. Because all the good PC games are there too. But
yeah, it's pretty, like I said, I think I've said this in previous casts, Bloodborne and Journey, that's the only
Journey
that I care about on PlayStation.
I played that literally on a friend's account though. Because
yeah,
I don't need to buy it.
We all probably also talked about this. I can just go to a friend's house and play Journey for 2 hours. Can't do that with Bloodborne, but
yeah,
that just means
Bloodborne's
I'm not going to buy
a long-lasting
fucking console for
game,
one game.
Like, Far Cry games are... Segway!
Yeah.
Okay, so we were talking about this briefly before the podcast. Jimmy said you haven't been keeping on top of Far Cry Primal.
Yeah.
Matt, did you watch the little teaser trailer? I usually don't watch teaser trailers, but this one was just like such a stupid idea I had to, and I was not disappointed.
I'll have it running in the background while you guys talk.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, this is a Far Cry game that takes place during the Ice Age. It showed a very, very short teaser trailer of early, I don't even know if I want to call it early, because when you look at the numbers, the Ice Age lasted much, much longer than any other period of human history. People have been living comfortably hunting mammoths in the Ice Age than they have been farming crops and living in cities and doing paperwork. But anyways, the trailer is narrated entirely in gibberish. And you see some people in little amounts of clothing running around the woods hunting mammoths, and there's snow and rocks and mountains and I mean, like, this looks I it's such a dumb idea. It's great. It's a great idea.
Wait a minute. It's a Far Cry all with this?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a Far Cry without guns thousands of years before any history ever happened in history.
As one Twitter user very aptly put it to George, it's like Skyrim without guns.
But it's so weird, because when you're going back this far, it's like Skyrim with nothing. Like yeah. What is Skyrim without
they didn't have
metal?
Enough time.
What is Skyrim without paper or houses or buildings
or a currency? Make a game.
What is currency? What are you going to use as currency in this game?
Human blood.
Mammoth horns, probably.
Yeah. It's just Poaching Simulator 2015.
Maybe you'll trade
Peter's
pelts
gonna be
and
pissed.
You know what? The more I think about it, the more it does sound like a traditional Far Cry game. I mean, you're running around the woods hunting things with bows and crafting new items from their stuff, right?
I love one of the top comments on this trailer. Where is machine guns? Where is bomb? Where is explosion?
That's why I'm so excited about this and also think this looks... you know what? Occasionally I love stupid ideas. And this has to be like one of the most lovable stupid ideas because it's such a novel concept that just like should not work within the realms of a traditional dumb AAA first person shooter video game. Because what are you even going to shoot?
Do you think that this is on the heels of Horizon?
Maybe.
Do you think that they were like, wow, shit, that game about like dinosaurs and like the girl from Braid is making is making everybody really excited. Our game with the guns and the really bad guy is not making people excited. Let's do their thing. Let's do that thing.
So they didn't have enough time to make the guns. They just like put up like just like this world without guns, without explosions, because that'll take too much work, and without voice actors.
Process.
So they just go inside of the mic, right? Is that
so?
What
you're saying is their development process is a perfect metaphor and parallel of the time and age that they're trying to emulate within their game.
They're just hammering on the computers, going oonga boonga.
They're like in the like ice age of the development process of Far Cry, and so they just decided to theme it like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
I bet it was
like,
just a weird pitch that just like, yeah, why not?
But between all the cookie cutter Ubisoft sandbox franchises, like the Far Cry games have been pretty reliable. Sure, you can say that Far Cry 4 is like a copy pasted mission pack sequel, and you're not wrong. But I had a lot of fun smashing an elephant into trucks and watching the bad guys go as they ran away. And it was still great fun.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta say props for trying something new.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna bash it because this is something different. I mean, they could have.
Yeah,
easily
at least I feel interested.
Yeah, yeah,
and far as stupid non-numerical spin-off sequels go, like Far Cry is one of the best. It has Blood Dragon, which
yeah.
Like
the only problem with Blood Dragon is that like it says it's so self-aware, but it's still doing the shitty things that it's trying to be self-aware of.
You know, you're not wrong, but I still had my fun with it.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's completely
like,
fair.
Like I was between all the cookie cutter AAA overmarketed franchises, Far Cry is probably the one that I think I enjoy the most on a genuine, like shameless level. Like I don't even have to call it a guilty pleasure because it's like going to the movies to see a dumb action movie. Why should you feel guilty about that when it's good in the first place?
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much all I go to the movies for anymore.
The last movie I think I really enjoyed in a theater was Dread 3D, which was a dumb action movie, but it was so well made.
What about
you
Mad
can't
Max?
Really knock it.
Yeah,
oh,
I was
yeah,
gonna
Mad
say,
Max,
are you implying?
That's right. Why
I was gonna say, are you fucking implying that you didn't see Mad Max in theaters? You
I was
swine.
At the edge of my seat for all of Mad Max. And
yeah,
good.
It was great.
Good.
It was great.
Yeah, you know, I don't really want to say that like Far Cry is the Mad Max of video games.
It's not. Definitely
but,
not.
But maybe closer to like. The RoboCop Dread 3D of video games.
It's more like the like Angry Arnold of video games or the Pissed Pete
Arnold
of video games.
Pissed Pete? Is that Angry Joe's new persona?
No, that's like the lesser Mad Max.
Pissed Pete. Oh, I get it. Yeah. It's a
Oh man, you need to see the tweet thread
thesaurus.
That me and my friend me and Dev and Todd and I think Naveed joined in. Nick Bolton also somebody called Mad Max like Mad Guy
Angry
Fury
Joe.
Street or something And so we went on for maybe like an hour of just like displeased David and just like all these
oh,
like really extrapolated
too. They have to have the same letter.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. Anyway, derailing that
muffled Matt.
Skyrim without guns conversation.
Okay. So yeah, speaking of going on for an hour, we've been going on for about an hour. We have one last topic. It's a big one though. That is the voice actors SAG-AFTRA union, which includes a lot of video game voice actors, has voted to authorize going on strike, which does not mean that they are going on strike right now so much as they've voted to authorize. It basically means they're like, yeah, sure, go ahead if negotiations go further downhill.
Right.
So, yeah, that's like one step more towards happening if it does happen. I've looked a little bit more into the details. I actually have numbers for this bonus they're negotiating. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Are you ready to hear the unreasonable, ridiculous amount of the game's production budget they want?
Sure.
$3,300.
Oh.
They want a $3,300 bonus if a game sells more than 2 million units. And actually, they want a $3,300 bonus for every 2 million units the game sales with an 8 million unit cap. So they can't
get four times.
Many of games sell 2 million in the first place.
Right.
And also $3,300, like, I was expecting way more than that if this is really a... Like, that's not... That's like a
month of rent and groceries. It's not a lot of money.
What's the point?
Maybe
then?
In
What's
California.
Yeah. Definitely in California.
Oh, which is where they would be, actually, isn't it?
Most of them live here. I mean, I know a lot of voice actors that don't live here, but I'm just saying this is one of the media capitals of the U.S. So
the royalty that they want to negotiate for is $3,300 for every 2 million units sold within 8 million units sold cap. And yeah, like that. What?
Yeah.
What's the point though? It's so small.
Well, if they have to negotiate for that, and they're not getting that by default.
Ooh, you're right.
Like, maybe that's why, like, they're just like.
Can you imagine how much they're not?
I'd
getting
rather
paid?
Voice act for cartoons instead of video games, because that'll get at least $3,300 for a million. Unit pushing blockbuster AAA equivalent of cartoons.
Yeah, that's kind of. Is that all that they're?
No, there's some other things, but that's the one with the most solid number. They also want stunt pay for vocally stressful recording sessions, and also a 2-hour limit for vocally stressful recording sessions. And they don't give a number
for that for the TOVG podcast.
Do you want to try? Just like roll up to Gerard and be like, hey, we put our lives on the line. We can damage our voices. And then what are you going to do then?
The problem is we need to start recording this while skydiving.
Because if that were the case, we could also negotiate for a stunt coordinator to be on hand. Mm-hmm. Now, this one sounds a lot, much like the $3,300 bonus. This one sounds a lot easier to sympathize with. They want a stunt coordinator to be mandatory on set if they do business with the union for dangerous mocap sessions. And they actually cite a story of a mocap actor being injured on the job after the developers needed him to be pulled around the set with a wire.
Wow.
Hang on. Let's back the fuck up to the point where we were talking about voice actors who are striking.
Yeah,
who the fuck is making voice actors do mocap work?
Yeah, some of them can do both.
It's SAG-AFTRA. It's just actors. But the bulk of them and the bulk of what you see and experience when you play the game is the voice acting side of the industry. But this is also included in the negotiation terms, our stunt coordinators for mocap actors as well, which I bet sometimes bleeds into the voice actors as well. Like, a lot of times the facial models and the voice actors are the same.
I guess I just find that really ridiculous. It's like unless the person's trained, I feel like that's making someone do a, like you're cooking now, but I I bust tables. What are you fucking talking? I don't know how to cook. Like, it seems like that kind of situation. Not to say that they're, you know, relate those jobs in importance, but also, just what the fuck? Why is there not a, like, safety guy on fucking hand if you're pulling someone around with a goddamn wire?
Yeah, this is, like, another thing that's easy to sympathize with. This is they want stunt workers. They also want more transparency when signing onto contracts. They want to know how many sessions they're expecting to book, what rating the game's planning to get. They want to know if it can have potentially offensive content, and will the sessions be vocally stressful? Will they be screaming for up to 2 hours at a time into a microphone, thus potentially getting laryngitis and then ruining their ability to work for the weeks following that session? Yeah. Which sounds pretty okay.
Completely
to me.
Fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There are also a lot of negative rumors about this thing relating to a union-only provision that the developers who agree to this would have to work with the unions or just not work at all. And the thing is, that's kind of sort of true. They explain in their FAQs, they don't have this in their in their publicized version of their list of negotiating demands. This is one aspect of it they do kind of want to lowball, and that is that if a developer does go non-union, they would be missing out to all the professional Hollywood people in the union. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that they can't go for cheaper. And like, there are a lot of people on the internet willing and eager to voice act for cheap,
which
I actually wouldn't mind hearing in bigger games.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that industry that, like, I hear it's one of the most cutthroat of creative industries where you need to, like, rise up the ranks.
Yeah, you can see it. Every time you see an interview and stuff, you can really, like, when they talk about it, it's really like, wow.
Well, there are so few
of them.
How are
they going to make it?
This is also why I think I mentioned earlier that we'd get to talk about clicks here, is that there's so many games that just rely almost exclusively for, like, Nolan North and Tara Strong for male and female vocals for almost any other character. And would this shake up that lack of diversity, both in the industry and in the games we're getting? Would we be able to hear more voices, more creative use of voices, and would also up-and-coming younger voice actors have more of a chance in the industry if they push harder for it to be unionized like this?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Because, honestly, I could see it going either way, and it would ultimately depend on how much money the developers want to spend. Like, do they want to be safe? Do they want to be sure to get a good Hollywood quality performance, or do they want to lowball it and take a risk? And the AAA industry is so risk averse that I feel like encouraging them to take risks is almost a good thing.
Yeah, might be. I don't know. I mean, I see where you're coming from. I guess it's
because a lot of the companies that they're talking to that they would be wanting to be pushing the union on are the AAA companies like Warner Brothers, EA, Activision, Blizzard, Rockstar. Like, a lot of what we're hearing, like, this does not apply to most smaller games, which are most games, because they're not the ones that do business with union actors. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Like, the more I read into this, like, even reading the opposition and the other side of the argument, the more I'm like, this strike doesn't really sound like a bad thing. If it works, that is. Yeah. I mean, there's always the chance that developers are just like, okay, fine, we're going to hire nyanners from the internet to do our female vocals instead of Tara Strong, in which case that would be awesome.
Well, it may be awesome. May also be the worst thing, but, you know.
I would love to hear some shitty voice acting, because it's always the same.
Yeah.
I want to shake things up a bit. Maybe I just want to see things get destroyed a little bit.
I mean, I guess in that sense, I don't want to make us run too long. I know we all have things to do after this, and this is the last topic. However, in that sense, what was your opinion on Peter Dinklage in Destiny?
Yeah, like, they didn't like him, so they replaced him with Nolan North retroactively.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if, like, creative risk wise, are you agree with bringing Dinklage on board, even though he's not necessarily a voice actor, he's just an actor?
But he also would definitely be one of the union people, one of the bigger fish in the sea. So if they went away from the union to save money, they would be picking someone no one knows, which definitely wouldn't be Peter Dinklage.
Right, but what I'm saying is creatively taking a risk on somebody who's not a voice actor or who is not experienced at voice acting.
But I don't know how much of a creative risk someone like Peter Dinklage is.
You know what I mean.
I don't, because it's
After Soma, and I saw those, like, some of those voice actors that are, they barely have done anything, do a really good job. There's a lot of people out there that know how to voice act. It's not only these big behemoths out there, okay? Like, it's, I say, obviously, there's going to be some quality control of what voice actor they pick. They're not going to pick some hobo off the street and say, oh, can you voice act? And there's, you know, make animal noises in the microphone. I'm pretty sure there's going to be some type of screening process.
Yeah, sure.
It's inconvenient for them, and not just picking some, you know, like, oh, let's get Troy Baker. You know what I'm saying? You know,
it would tickle me pink to, like, load up some dumb Far Cry shooter and hear the animals just being like human impressions of animals because they couldn't pay for the expensive royalty riddled library of animal sound effects.
One of
my favorite indie games from last year was Door Kickers, a little like stealth puzzler. And one of the soldier classes was voiced by a guy who just straight up did a Solid Snake impersonation. And it tickled me pink. I was having a blast with that stuff. And I'm just like wondering how glorious it would be to load up Far Cry and just hear one of the characters do a completely shameless Solid Snake voice for the whole game.
Yeah.
Instead of Nolan North.
Right.
Because if it was a Nolan North voice, it would just, I mean, it wouldn't sound bad, but also wouldn't sound necessarily remarkable.
Well, Peter Dinklage he sounded better than Nolan Bott, to be honest.
Really? You like Dinklage better?
And I'm not talking about delivery. I'm talking about just personality and stuff. He just sounds like a little geeky, whiny bot that, yeah, sure, the delivery is better and it's probably better to have that in a game, but it's just, it becomes background. He becomes background noise after a while. It's just not, I played through the whole game with him again, and it just seems so regular and boring. And that's why I kind of agree. I would rather some other voice actor. Like what if Supergiant Games never hired that random voice actor to play the narrator? What if they hired Nolan North or whatever the big behemoths are? Like we would never get that narrator, which he's awesome.
Darren Korb.
Yeah.
So like, let's see now.
He's the guy who did the music. I didn't know he did the voice as well.
Did he do the music? He was like the roommate of one of the guys, and he's
he came out of nowhere.
And
knocked it out.
No, Darren Korb did the soundtrack.
I'm trying to think of the narrator, because
super random guy.
Bastion narrator voice. Logan Cunningham. Yeah, never.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Logan Cunningham. How much of a chance does he have in a unionized industry, where they demand royalties versus, I guess, being on his own? I guess it ultimately depends on how much the union is charging for membership.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Later, man.
Later, man.
Later, man.
Oh, my voice.
Yeah.
It's going out.
It's starting to go. We didn't negotiate our stunt pay. We gotta save our voices while they last.
Alex.
We're gonna go drink warm water now. And not speak to our friends or families for the next couple days, so our voices will be fresh for next time.
Yes.
Right.
So goodbye, friends. Thanks for listening. Averting occupational
hazard. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
Yeah.
Tell your friends about us.
Rate us on SoundCloud
as well.
Tell your
parents about us. We're not on SoundCloud.
Wait, should we be? Okay, the bush. Wait, now I'm doing it.
Yeah.